Blog Talk Radio. The following program is a production of Janesville Community Radio, Inc. You are tuned in to the worldwide headquarters of the most unlikely and extraordinary programs ever broadcast from Janesville, Wisconsin. Due to contractual terms and to impart immunity to our corporate partners, volunteers, and friends from any notions of liability, responsibility, or culpability, please note sentiments and opinions expressed may not necessarily be those of Janesville Community Radio, Inc., program hosts, underwriters, or their collaborators.
Wisconsin Sports Report with the Herb 103.5 FM.
Live from Studio 54 and a half in downtown Janesville, here's your host, The Herv.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Sports Report. We are broadcasting from beautiful downtown Janesville at 321 East Milwaukee Street. We are at the Mother Station, as I like to call it. I am joined by our normal partners in crime, minus one. We don't have Bob tonight. We don't have Downtown Daddy-O, but we do have my future color commentator, Joe. Joe, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Today was a great day for us.
Glad to have you here. We are with my producer and my brother, Paul, and we are also live in Ohio with my other co-host, Irish Brad. Irish Brad, how you doing, bud?
Doing great. Dave, how you doing? How you doing, Joe?
You got an update on the Masters right now?
Yeah, Spieth's in the lead right now. He's minus 16. I think Phil's in second at 11 under. Spieth has a par putt on 18 right now. Or no, he actually just made the par putt. He finished the 70.
I thought Justin Rose was actually tied.
Yeah, Justin Rose is actually, he's at 12 under. Mickelson's 11, Spieth is 16.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, there we go. It's going to make for an interesting round tomorrow.
Yeah, there's about, eight or nine guys within seven or eight strokes of the lead, so it could get interesting tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be a close one. And, I was telling Dave earlier, maybe, or even Paul, maybe tomorrow, maybe Tiger needs to come out with maybe a green shirt on instead of the red shirt. Maybe he might actually do something.
Try and change up his luck a little.
Yeah, he's got to change up his luck. That red shirt hasn't done any good for him lately.
No, he's within striking distance. I mean, if somebody ahead of him has a collapse, he has one of those 65s or something tomorrow.
Yeah, he is. He's, tied for seventh right now.
Yeah, last I saw he was at seventh. So I think he's at 7 under also. So he's within nine strokes of the lead.
There you go. And we know if he turns it on, he can easily play this course.
Yep. He can score low here, especially on a Sunday.
Well, we're looking at it, maybe, two more holes for Jordan to actually pull ahead. He could actually get another birdie, possibly even two out of these next two holes.
Yeah, actually, Jordan just finished up at 16 under.
Okay. All right, I'm looking at the...
He shot 70 today and 200 today.
Okay. I'll tell you what, though, he had an impressive first round.
Oh, yeah, the first and second round, he shoot 64 2 days in a row. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly. For as young as he is.
Yeah, the last guy to do that was Greg Norman before his epic collapse in, what was that, 94, I think.
Irish Brad, we were just talking about that earlier, about his epic collapse that he had in 94. That was awful to watch because I was actually pulling for him.
Yeah, I've always been a Greg Norman fan. I mean, who really roots against the Great White Shark? He was the guy that went out there and, yep, he always hit the driver. He never pulled a 3-wood out and laid up on a hole.
There you go.
So we were talking earlier today, Irish Brad, and maybe you could help us with this. We were having some lunch at a fine little bar in town here called Charlie's Pub, and the Masters was on all the TVs. And while we were eating our Charlie burgers and steak fries, we were talking about the Masters and what does it take to make the cut? How do you qualify for the Masters? What has to happen for you to get a chance? We did hear about the invite part of it as part of the process, but what do you have to do to make it to the Masters?
Basically, to make the Masters, I believe, is number one, if you're a previous winner, you can play till the day you die, which is why they have the Gary Player, Nicholas, and Arnold Palmer honorary starters every year. This year, Ben Crenshaw played his last tournament this year. I think he played 52 tournaments or something. And then if you win a tournament during the year, you're eligible. Or I believe the U.S. amateur champion, the PGA Public Links champion, there's like about four or five amateurs that qualify. The NCAA champion qualifies. And it's a big deal for the amateurs because they get to stay in the clubhouse during the tournament.
And so there's a chance for a Cinderella.
There is a chance, but, you know, it's a long-shot chance. But, you know, it's the same thing as the U.S. Open, where basically if you have a 2-handicap or better, you can qualify for the U.S. Open, like Ken Cup did in the movie. It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while you have an amateur that competes up until the end.
Now, isn't this Jordan's first time at the Masters?
No, I believe last year was. He finished
last
tied
year?
For second last year. Yeah.
Okay. That was Rory that won
Bubba
last year.
Bubba won last year.
Oh, Bubba Watson, that's right.
Yeah, Rory's never won it. That's his last major to win.
Okay. Nice.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, it's exciting. I must admit myself, I am not a big golf fan, but I, like my brother, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and usually it's a Sunday afternoon once a year, that does finish up tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
That's when I start really watching. I always remember it's the one time I don't mind if it's interrupting 60 minutes.
Yeah, the Masters is one of those events. It's kind of like, for me, I'm not a big NASCAR fan, but I'll always watch the Daytona 500 or, you know, things like that. They're, you know, if my teams are out of the playoffs, which they usually are in the NFL, I'm still going to watch the Super Bowl every year. And you know, it's those type of things.
Yeah, it's one of them things where, you know, I'm not a NASCAR fan either, but if there's, you know, 20 laps to go and it's a Daytona 500 and I'm by the TV, I'll tune in.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. First 10 laps and the last 10 laps.
Exactly. And then in about 12-pack in between.
There you go.
Well, Irish Brad, we kind of had a tough week around here for being Wisconsin fans. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, I heard there was a big game last Monday. Wasn't this past Monday night? I heard there was a big hoops game.
Yeah,
Did turn out real well for the home team.
Yeah, it was the Milwaukee Bucks loss last Monday night and just devastated us.
That was Wednesday night when I texted you guys with the Cavs beat up on the Bucks, beat them by 6 points, I think.
Yes, it was.
The one thing that we're pretty excited about, and I can guess I can start with a little bit of Milwaukee Bucks news, is we are – in the final process, the big news around here, Irish Brad, of getting the approval for a stadium that is reportedly going to cost $1 billion. So the Milwaukee Bucks will be here to stay, and we're pretty excited about that.
Well, yeah, it's nice to have a long-term guarantee that they're going to be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, now, in Cleveland – like if the Browns announced that they got a long-term deal or the Indians, does that create sadness because they never win anything?
For some reason, I still want those teams to stay there and compete. Someday it's going to happen. No, I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying, but we had a team lose, which there's, you know, people joke around about that all the time, but it's a whole different story when a team of yours actually left town and you had to fight tooth and nail to get them back.
Irish Brad, has TMZ been outside your house at all recently?
No, not that I know of.
Well, I mean, I'm hearing from my brother that you're a big celebrity now with your own page. You're a big superstar. You're a Browns fan, so you're a big Browns star.
Isn't it big time? Isn't he big time now?
You're big time. You're a big time Brown star now.
Well, I'm planning on going full prima donna mode here in the near future, so we'll see how that we'll see how the likes go. I think I'm all the way up to the well over the Baker's dozen mark on likes on that page.
There we go.
You know, we're downtown beautiful Janesville, and the sun's out, and I'm noticing these people walking down the street, and the shadow that gets cast on the building across the street makes them look like they all weigh 500 pounds. It's kind of interesting. You're seeing this skinny girl walking downtown, yet her shadow looks like she's 500-pound monster. I love it. Must just be how the sun is today. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just making an observation. We like doing that in between our sports commentary. All right, so it looks like the Masters are still what's that kid? How big a shot lead does that kid still have?
Right now, it's
he's got a 4-stroke lead right now.
Okay, well, 4 shots, that's not a lot. Wasn't he up 7?
Yeah, he was up 7 coming into the day. And really, I mean, that's a double bogey on the first hole, and it's a whole new ball game. So
what is it? Just maybe nerves getting to him a little bit.
Well, they had the pins in some tough spots today, and the course wasn't quite as soft. It's been raining there, so they haven't been able to attack the pins as much today.
Okay, well, getting back to the Badgers, we were pretty excited around here on Monday. I mean, we had opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers, the same day at Miller Park, the same day the Badgers are going to be playing that night. And Wisconsin fans crapped out. The Brewers lost 10-0. Kyle Loesch was an absolute disaster, and I'm going to tell anyone listening to this show, you need to know that he is the next Jeff Suppan. Not the Jeff Suppan that won the World Series, the Jeff Suppan that Milwaukee paid $44 million for the year after with that, and then we got to have his blistering 86-mile-an-hour fastball. That's who we got in Kyle Loesch. Kyle Loesch can get all the tattoos that he wants up and down his arms that throw the show baseballs with flames behind it and everything else. The guy's throwing puss balls up there that are in the mid-80s, and these major league players, especially when he gets down a couple balls, no strikes, they're sitting dead red and they're just creaming him. I think he's going to be a disaster, and I want this on record. That's my opinion, and we'll see at the end of the year, but I just think that this guy is going to be an absolute walking, talking disaster for the Milwaukee Brewers this year. And I wasn't happy to see that he was the opening day starter to begin with. And then to see that performance, it just made me puke in my mouth. I mean, now I know, Irish Brad, that you went to opening day. You went to the Cleveland Indians opening day there. Did they win, or what did the Tribe do? And how was your experience at the ballpark?
Well, the Tribe lost yesterday. They just couldn't score enough runs to keep up with the Tigers. The Tigers scored a bunch of runs yesterday, but opening day was awesome. It's a great time downtown. It's a holiday. Cleveland can't move around. I'm sure it's probably similar in Milwaukee. All the bars around the stadium are standing room only. It's a great time.
That's good. That's good. Who is your play-by-play announcer for the Cleveland Indians?
On the radio, it's Tom Hamilton and a guy named Jim Rosenhaus. Tom Hamilton's a legend around here. His home run calls are one of those things. He does a swing and a drive way back, and everybody says it. It's exactly who it is. Rosenhaus is the he's the color guy, and he doesn't add much color. But Hamilton more than makes up for it.
Oh, okay. Right. In today's day, I'll tell you what. Just with social media out there and everything, the Brewers are 0-4 going into tonight, and people are already thinking the season's over. I don't believe that at all. I just think that we got to put some runs together and give our pitching staff. I think Peralta actually pitched a pretty good game. It just wasn't meant to be. And I'll tell you what, K-Rod is an abs. That's another one. We tied the game 4-4 late in the ninth inning, and then we go to extra innings, and the first thing he does is give up a jack to the they call him the Baby Bull. I'm forgetting the guy's name. He was a catcher, but now for the he's a catcher for the Colorado Rockies, but they found out that his catching skills aren't that good, and he is a designated hitter for him. They call him the Baby Bull. But anyways, You know, K-Rod got down, I would say, I think it was a 3-1 on him, and he threw a fatty right over the middle of the plate, and he crushed it. And that was the end for the Brewers. I just think there's two pitchers right there that we need to clip, but I'm just a fan. There's a reason why I do radio, and there's probably a reason why they search for talent. But you can't tell me that we can't find an opening day pitcher that can't throw better than 88 miles an hour. That Kyle Loesch, I couldn't stand him last year, and this year, I don't know. I guess just that opening day, I think he gave up 7 earned runs, like in the first like 5 innings. Just absolutely terrible.
And I think you hit it right on the head. I think Willie has actually been the best pitcher so far out of all the games, the first 4 games. Just not as many hits as, you know, K-Rod coming out.
So after that little mini hangover that we had in the afternoon with the Brewers getting beat 10-0, we got our hopes up for the Wisconsin Badgers. And it's one thing when you play 5 players, but when you play 8, you know, 8-on-5, that's tough. And, you know, you might call it sour grapes, but there are some significant blunders, if you want to call it blunders, made by the refs in that game. I mean, everything from the ball that was, you could see the trajectory out that ball that it was off Hamilton's fingertips. You could see the baseline, the foot that was out of bounds. They end up getting a 3-point shot off that. You could see the charging that they didn't call a charge,
yep,
where they basically took 3 steps, ran into our guy, threw his hands up, and our guy had both feet down just waiting. It just seemed like I don't want to say it wasn't meant to be, because the Badgers also blew it themselves. They were up by 9 with like about 9 minutes left in the game. And they decided to just, I don't know if you want to call it play it safe or just not play defense. I don't get it, but I do know this. The rest didn't help us, Irish Brad and Joe.
No, they didn't.
No, I'll tell you, watching that game, I can see it both ways, being a neutral observer here. You know, Wisconsin blowing that lead was big time, but the calls definitely weren't going their way. But even in spite of the calls, they still were in control of the game up until, what, about 8 minutes left to play in the second half, and then the tide started to turn. I heard on the radio this week that the lead officiating guy for the NCAA was at the game, and he was going to stop the officials on that tip ball because they didn't get to see a angle that the replay showed later on after it. Now, have you guys heard that?
Yeah, and the thing is, Irish Brad, it only makes it worse for us fans because he said that he was thinking of getting up and walking over to him to tell them to look at it again, but he wasn't sure if he should do that. And that just all, you know, I'd rather not even know that happened, because all it does is just piss me off. But I'll tell you what, we've got to go to commercial break right now. We come back, we'll touch on that a little bit more. Just like anything in life, folks, you got to move on in life, and we got to move on from this. It is only sports, but, you know, sports for me is life. But we'll be back with a little bit, folks. Thanks for listening in. You're listening to Wisconsin Sports Report, 103.5 FM WADR.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Check out the new business center that has opened in downtown Janesville. My office, JVL, provides full business services for home-based companies or the professional that only needs an occasional meeting space in the Rock County area. Professional, fully staffed, and convenient, my office, JVL, can provide you with everything from a virtual office address to an on-site copy center, office space, and a full-sized conference room. www.myoffice-jvl.com. Who would have guessed that you could eat chocolate to lose weight and regain health? A new product developed by respected medical professionals is available locally and can help your family achieve the health you've always wanted. Free samples are available. Call 608 608- 563-0111 or check out www.chocolatesforlife.com. Chocolates, the number 4, for life.com or call 608-563-0111.
All right, this is William Henderson, former Green Bay Packer, and this is Wisconsin Sports Report, WADR 103.5 FM.
I hate sports, but you probably don't, so you should be listening to the Wisconsin Sports Report with Dave every Saturday at 6 p.m. on Janesville Community Radio 103.5 FM.
I hate sports.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Sports Report with the Herb 103.5 FM.
And we are back. You're listening to Wisconsin Sports Report on 103.5 FM, WADR. We're going over a little bit of the pain that we went through in this state over Wisconsin's loss. The Brewers haven't started out how we'd like to, but the summer is here. And Irish Brad, you live in a Midwestern area. You guys know what it's like to appreciate the nice weather, and at least we got that going for us.
Yeah, great weather here. I hear you guys are having the same.
So the Milwaukee Bucks are currently third. It looks like they might make the playoffs. The Cleveland Cavaliers, you guys in the one spot?
I believe the Cavs are in the two spot. Atlanta came off, started off with such a hot start, I don't think the Cavs can catch them.
So I'll tell you what, I mean, things are looking good for Cleveland. It just seems like, I just think that LeBron James has just taken that team and just brought up another level. I still think the guy can play. He got a good 3-4 more years of being dominant. They just had to get things together in Cleveland out there. Now, as for the Bucks, our first-round draft pick, Jabari Parker, went down early in the year. They're still winning games, though, and they're still, you know, they're competing. I mean, the thing that I like to see is the baby steps. And one of the things about the Milwaukee Bucks is I noticed that a lot of the games that they are losing, they've been losing within 10. You know, like it might be like 107-99 or something like that. They're keeping games close. And that's a nice sign to see when you're rebuilding and you're just trying to get your program going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it'd have to be. I'd have to agree with you, too. I mean, even. Yeah, with the Bucks even coming with the Wolves last night, there was, 99-91, so we had that 9 points right there, you know, which is really good.
Oh, I just was saying hello to everybody. But let's get a little – go ahead, Joe.
Now I was going to say, Irish Brad, even with James being down there, how long do you think he's actually going to stay in Cleveland? If he wins – they win it this year. Do you think he'll be there next year, or do you think he's going to move on?
I believe his contract is through 2019.
Yeah, but that's just a contract. Anybody can be bought out. You know that.
Yeah, it can be bought out, but I really do believe that he'll at least play the contract out, and then I think that's where he has some tough decisions to make from there. And I think it also depends on, you know, how many championships they may or may not have won by that point, and you know, some other things, teammates.
Now, where can you see him possibly heading?
I would have to guess.
No, at the end of his contract, where could you possibly see him heading out if he was going to head out?
The old folks home.
Yeah, Well, I was going to say, if he doesn't finish his career in Cleveland, I think he's either New York or L.A.
I would say in L.A. would be one of the most dominant ones that I could see him ending up going to.
And how old is LeBron James?
I want to say that LeBron's 28 or 29.
So if he goes to 2019, yeah, I mean, being in his mid-30s, you know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, Michael Jordan type players, and LeBron is close, you know, he can at least be in that same somewhat, what you want to call a category. So, you know, Kobe Bryant, I mean, they're all in that same category. Those guys can probably play competitively till 40, but I mean, you know, if he wins a championship or two while in Cleveland, I you know, what else is he going to do? I mean, yeah, I could see maybe if he went to New York or he went to Los Angeles, but I mean, the odds of winning a title, especially at, you know, in your mid-30s, can be incredibly hard if you're the main guy. I don't know. I just think he's going to stay in Cleveland. We got a lot to be excited about here, though, folks. Like I said, we're a couple steps away from getting a $1 billion stadium approved for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think Herb Cole, I can't remember the dollar amount, but he was a pretty significant investor in getting that going. Wasn't it like, was that $150 million or $300 million or something? I can't remember what it was.
That's a lot more than what I'll ever see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. You know, I think, you know, we're excited about that. We're hoping sometime pretty soon we can start putting them signs out again that says "Fear the Deer."
That was actually pretty nice, actually, just to see it on the news. Actually, being able to see the layout of the new arena, everything that goes with it. It was pretty spectacular.
Just think what it does for the city of Milwaukee. Oh, I mean, it's just and like we were talking earlier with Paul over lunch. You know, just everything from NCAA finals will be played there. There will be what else are we talking about, Paul? There's NBA All-Star games. I mean, it's just...
Possibilities are endless.
Well, yeah. That's some things that you get when you build a stadium.
There you go.
It's just like the NFL. You build a stadium, you're guaranteed so many Super Bowls and things like that. So it's a good thing for Milwaukee. We're excited. We just would like to... Okay, I got to address this. It's been hard being a fan in the state of Wisconsin, and let me tell you why. I mean, between the Badgers, between what just happened to our Green Bay Packers, and we can go on with a few other things, it's been tough. But here's the thing. There's really no reason to bitch, and I'll tell you why. It's been tough, and you want to go to a certain point where you talk about it, but you don't want to sound like you're whining. Because one thing that we brought up was there are many cities across the United States that would, you know, just give you their lung to say in the last few years they won a Super Bowl. And so when you look at it that way, well, hey, you know, we can take our foot off the gas a little bit on that one and just be grateful, Joe, for what we got.
We are, absolutely. It's not even with the football. I mean, even with the turnaround of the with the Bucks, the way they've been playing, with the Badgers going, you know, down to the finals. I mean, we didn't win, but we got there, and that's a big part. That's a big step about how many teams you went through, the great year that we had. I'm just looking forward to next year now.
Yeah, part of it's enjoying the journey. Speaking of journeys, Irish Brad, Johnny Manziel, has been on his own journey, and some good news for the kid. It looks like he's getting out of rehab, we're seeing on SportsCenter. You know anything about that?
Yeah, I got the Bleacher Report across my phone, I think, last night or today sometime. I mean, good for him. I don't know what comes of his NFL career, what impact this trip to rehab has on him, but for him personally, good for him, I guess. The word around town in Cleveland is that the Browns are pretty much backing off of him, and that he's a long shot to even probably make the roster this year, the way that the talk's going now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you and get into. What do you think about this kid? I mean, do you think this kid, if he has the right guidance, do you think that he could be a good starting quarterback in the NFL, or do you just think – what do you think? I personally – you know, I'm not sure what's going on upstairs in his head, but I just didn't know if he just seems like such a small guy out there. I mean, I'm not saying you got to be huge. You got people like Doug Flutie and Drew Brees. They're not the biggest guys in the world, but What do you think about him, Irish Brad? You obviously know more than I do what's going on out there. Does this guy have a chance?
You know, coming into the league, I was rooting for him. Everybody roots for the underdog, the little guy. And not that he was an underdog being a Heisman Trophy winner coming out of college, but I had my reservations because of his size as well. And it's not so much, you know, being able to see over the line or something, but just the first big hit you take, what happens to him when he gets a helmet in his chest or something. And that's what happened last year. The first time he took a big hit, he's out for the rest of the year. So I had my reservations from the beginning, and he sure hasn't done anything to change my mind on it.
Okay. Well, a little bit more with the NFL too. The players union has been trying to decrease, which I would be more than happy with, the number of preseason games played. I mean, I personally believe four is disgustingly too much. It's just there's nothing worse than seeing your star player go down before the regular season even starts. They don't get to play much anyways until the last one. So they're trying to take it from four down to two. But the owners, if that happens, they want to increase the regular season by one. Joe, we'll start with you. What do you think about that? And do you think I guess I wouldn't mind that, but I'm not sure about creating an extra game in the regular season.
I wouldn't agree with the extra game in the season. I think I'd just keep it the way it is. And you have to go with the way it plays out. Why would you want to add an extra game?
I'm not so sure about adding the extra game. Irish Brad, what do you think about? Are you happy with the possible reduction? It wouldn't be this year. It'd be the following year in preseason.
I'm all for two games would be a perfect number, because really you think about it, they're playing four preseason games and the starters are playing four quarters worth of football in preseason. So it's really, you know, 25% of it is high-level football and 75% garbage football. But I'm not for expanding the regular season. I think it's getting to the point where you're reaching a saturation point. And I know the reason behind it. It's all money. They make money no matter what games are on TV. So the more games they can get on, the more money they can make.
Right. And, you know, part of the reasoning behind this, too, is the fans, you know, the season ticket holders, they're sick of having to pay that regular season price for preseason tickets. If you got, for instance, outdoor club seats for the Green Bay Packers are about $292 a ticket. That's what Lambeau Field charges. Well, for the preseason, they're $292, and you're held hostage of paying that kind of price for something that really no one really, I mean, some people like going to it, but it's nothing like regular season and no one wants to go to those. And so, you know, fans have been screaming in all NFL cities that the preseason ticket should be basically half of what the regular season is. But the NFL owners obviously are not going to do that because they know they got you by the balls. They know, especially with Packer fans, been sold out up here for 30 years, that if you're going to pay for your regular season, you just got to take the preseason with it. So there's an issue when it comes to that, too.
And I would go with you on that. If they were to chop the price in half, I guarantee they'd make up their money on the other half, either by the parking or the sales, and jack the prices in that aspect right there. You know, so like you said, they're going to get their money, whether it's going to be we keep the same amount or we go that extra game. Go that extra game, they're just going to make as much more. I would just keep it the same.
And, you know, also the owners' meeting, it doesn't seem like anything's going to come out of any rule changes, at least this year. They kicked around a lot of proposals. One of them was the going to review of pass interference calls, which I personally would have liked, because for me, that's an important part of the game. But for me, the one that I think they should have got done this year was the helmet to helmet.
Yeah.
Well, how many games have we seen, Irish Brad, where you got a free safety come in and clean shot with the shoulders, nothing head to head, but it was such a violent hit, the flag's thrown. And then when you look at the replay, you know, the refs can't see that in real time. They see that the helmet was not helmet to helmet. They see the shoulder pad going into his chest, and they go, okay, well, I guess we missed that one. I would have liked that one out of them all for a chance to be reviewed and picked up. What do you think about that, Irish Brad?
I agree 100%. That's one of those calls that's so reactionary by referee, and anybody who's played football, but just the sound and the sheer violence of an impact like that, that the referee is more inclined to just knee-jerk throw that flag when it's not always warranted. And I think that flag gets thrown way too much, and it's always a crucial situation. It seems like, you know, it's always a pass over the middle deep down the field, so it's never a one-yard holding play or something like that. It's on a run play. It's a game-changing play when it happens. So I'm really in favor of them reviewing it. It's unfortunate they didn't get that taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just wish they would have, you know, at least made a serious effort on it. But then again, there's a reason why I'm here and the reason why they're there making those decisions. But if you, you know, I also want to get back to the draft. When's the draft coming up? Is that this Wednesday?
It is soon. It is very soon.
When is the draft, Irish Red? When's the NFL draft? Does that kick off? Am I wrong by a week? Is that this Wednesday?
I think it's 2 weeks from now, but it's Thursday, April 30th is the first night.
Okay.
And then they're doing live from Chicago on Thursday, and then the next two rounds they're doing from team's headquarters.
Yeah, you know, okay. I start wondering about, I mean, there's obviously been huge wins and huge busts when it comes to drafting players. And I've never been a guy that everybody knows that the Green Bay Packers need an inside linebacker. They got to take Clay Matthews and put him on the outside where he belongs. And everyone's naming three or four players that should be the Packers' draft pick. And I got a problem with that because I'm not a need guy. I'm a best player on the board guy. I don't care if it's a quarterback. I say you take the best player on the board. I just think if you change your philosophy to need, you're just lying to yourself. I don't know. What do you think, Irish Brad?
I'm a firm believer in taking the best player available, unless it's somebody that obviously doesn't suit your needs, which I guess I just contradicted myself. But, you know, if your glaring weaknesses are on defense and you're taking a wide receiver, that's one thing. But when they're, you know, you're offensively sufficient and the best player is a playmaker on offense, why wouldn't you take that guy, even if he's not the biggest need on your team?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. The Packers have been fortunate. We've had more wins than bust over the last 10 years of drafting. I just know that, I trust Ted Thompson. I can't, you know, you would have asked me that 7 years ago, I would have said, kick him, get him out of town. You know, who's this guy coming in trying to tell Brett Favre he's not our man?
Along those lines, you got to bear in mind, somebody like me who's a fan of a team that has struck out more often than not, whether it was drafting a position in need or best available player, it's such a fine line. If it doesn't work out, regardless of which angle you're coming from, it's still going to be a bust in the end. So I guess there's two ways of looking at it, whether it was, position of need or best available.
Yeah,
I agree. I totally agree with that. Moving on to another subject, we got a lot of changes coming up here and we're going to be talking about that when we come back after our commercial break right here. But we've got a lot of changes to the station, and no teaser. We'll just let you know when we come back. You listen to the Wisconsin Sports Report, 103.5 WADR.
Donald, you got anything before we say bye?
No. I think we're being told.
And now a special message from Mindful Mondays with Esther Turner.
What the hell?
This is William Henderson, former Green Bay Packer, and this is Wisconsin Sports Report, WADR 103.5 FM.
Wisconsin Sports Report with the Herb 103.5 FM.
Are you a small business owner working out of your home? My Office JVL can provide office space to bring a more professional setting to your next meeting. Fully furnished offices are available by the hour, day, week, or month. Staffed reception area, copy and fax services, and conference room are also available. Conveniently located at 321 East Milwaukee Street in downtown Janesville. Check out www.myoffice-jvl.com.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You should be listening to Be Funny Sundays every Sunday at 2 p.m. with the funniest crew, Be City, Be Funny, on JCR, Janesville Community Radio, 103.5 FM. Our funny is contagious. Catch it.
Are you looking for diversity in Janesville?
You just found it.
Tune in to Janesville Community Radio for new podcasts daily.
Featuring a variety of local voices speaking on subjects
as diverse as arts, education, religion, politics,
self-improvement, business, community development.
And we even have an all-Spanish language podcast.
Go to www.janesvillecommunityradio.com
to find links to all our programs.
Wisconsin Sports Report with the Herb, 103.5 FM.
Suppose that after your pedicure, you could make me some biscuits or French fried taters.
And we are back with the Wisconsin Sports Report, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Janesville, 321 East Milwaukee Street. Just would like to bring in our production manager, Paul Kraft, to speak a little bit about some of the changes that are going to be coming up for our station, and for you fine listeners out there, some information for you as well. Paul?
All right. Looks like mid-June of this year, we're going to be switching over to FM broadcasting. We'll also be simulcasting on the internet at the same time. We don't have all the details yet. This is our last show on Blog Talk, and we don't want to lose any of our good listeners on Blog Talk. That's why I want you to pay attention to JanesvilleCommunityRadio.com as well as on Facebook and Dave's Wisconsin Sports Report on Facebook. All the updated information will be there on how to listen to us after this Monday. That's when I go through the software training and all the fun techie stuff. Other than that, I don't know. Do you have any other questions about it, Dave or Joe?
No, I just know that we're going to be broadcasting a Snappers games this year, and we're going to be eventually mid-June switching over to Tower. That's going to only reach the people of the greater Janesville area, though. I think we've got a 12-mile radius on the Tower, but we are going to still be broadcasting over the internet. We just are not going to find out, like you said, till after Monday what that's going to look like. And again, if you go to Janesville Community Radio and check out the Wisconsin Sports Report, we will have that information. My brother will get that out there for you hopefully sometime next week, so you can stick with the show. And if you're out of the range of our tower, you'll still be able to listen to us, whether you're in Germany or Paraguay, Japan, wherever this show goes around the world. We're happy to have you.
Yep, I do understand our tower will be able to reach around 60 to 80,000 people.
Nice.
Depending if it's going to go 8 or 12 miles, I'm not sure yet. But anyway, just want to let everybody know we're still going to be on, just not on Blog Talk. So carry on.
Are you there, Irish Brad?
I sure am, guys, and that's really exciting news. It's good to hear.
Yeah, we're pretty we're pretty happy about it.
I think it's going to be a good time. I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great ride.
Absolutely.
Well, getting back to a little NFL news, one thing that we haven't brought up yet, and he's more in your neck of the woods, Irish Brad, the great Troy Polamalu has retired.
Ooh.
Yeah, good riddance.
What?
I figured that one would get him going.
Take him and his stupid hair and his head and shoulders and go somewhere. Who cares?
Well,
what I mean, you don't like his hair?
Well, I don't like him. He's one of those guys, though. If he played on my team, I'd love him.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's what everybody would say. You take the worst player from your opposite team, but if he was on your team, he'd be the greatest thing.
Absolutely.
Well, we have the New York Mets closer, Jenry Maja, has been suspended 80 games after testing positive for Stanzolo. It is a prohibited PAD or PED. I'm sorry. Major League Baseball announced this on Saturday. They paid this guy almost $80 million.
Ooh.
And yeah, that's a pretty big asset to lose. We know what that's like. We dealt with a deal with Ryan Braun up here, but that's that's a pretty big suspension because this guy had his fastballs almost 100 miles an hour, and maybe now we know why.
Well, when you're talking $8 million, that's a lot of money.
You know, in this day and age, after the era we just went through in baseball, why are people still taking steroids? It blows my mind.
Yeah, I can't. I honestly. The thing is, you're not going to get away with it really anymore. You are going to get nabbed if you're constantly doing that. And, I mean, there's just so much money at risk and everything, and I just can't believe it.
That's what I say. With the amount of money that you're getting paid, is it really worth jeopardizing your entire career? I mean, you got there before you started using them. Why do you need to keep on using them now?
Well, and the question that gets asked all the time is, does it turn a – guy that's on the cusp of becoming a major leaguer into an all-star, or does it take a decent veteran and turn him into an all-star?
That's a really good point. I mean,
when you start equating it to money, if you're never going to make the money and the lure is there to try it, then I can see that. But if it takes you from a guy that has the potential to earn $2 to $3 million a year for the next 12 years. Versus a guy that can earn $15 million a year for the next 12 years. That's when you start deciding, is it worth it or not to get caught?
You know, I noticed that it just seems like sometimes a significant injury, just like anything, when it comes to abuse and any kind of abuse, it just seems like a significant injury can have a lot to play. You know, I remember it seemed to be Ryan Braun's thumb. And then all of a sudden there is then he got in trouble. It just seems like there is so much pressure on some of these athletes to keep up with the Joneses, but especially after injury, to rehab and get back as quick as you can, that, some of this alternative stuff, they think they can get away with it because you can buy it at a GNC. Well, that doesn't mean you can get away with it with all the rules they got in Major League Baseball. And another question that I have, and this goes for Irish Brad and Joe. We'll start with Irish Brad first. I don't understand how come in Major League Baseball, PEDs, that's basically, that's like one of the worst things that you can get caught doing. How come it isn't the same in the NFL?
The NFL, I'm going right along with what you're saying. The NFL almost turns a blind eye to it. I think for the NFL, it's almost a fine line. I think people mistake that people aren't taking steroids to become bodybuilders and hit home runs 400 feet. They're doing it so that they don't hurt as much the next day, or their arm bounces back sooner from why a relief pitcher does it, things like that. And I think the NFL, when you start getting into that these guys can come back from getting their heads pounded in for 2 hours on a Sunday afternoon a little quicker. Maybe the NFL is not going to be as quick to jump on that.
I also think it also could be a money thing. look at the money generation between the two sports. And like you said, when you look at the baseball, I mean, we're talking how many games a season these guys are playing. I mean, for them to sit out a month and miss, you know, 15, 16 games is nothing. You can't do that in the NFL. I mean, you're constantly, you're week after week after week, 16 weeks. So that and the money factor, between, you know.
It just seems to me that, you know, for steroid use, there's in baseball, there's congressional hearings going on. They got Barry Bonds, Rafael Palmeiro, you know, you got Mark McGwire, you got all these people there. No, I never did it. No, I never did it. And it's all this big thing. And then you hear these suspensions that come on, and they're 80-game suspensions, 60-game suspensions. And then you hear about an offensive lineman for Detroit that got caught with PEDs, and it's a 2-4-game suspension, and then nothing. It's barely a blip in the newspaper.
Well, and the NFL Players Union is so strong, and you know, not to say that the Major League Baseball Players Union isn't, but the government kind of went after them because the government really wanted to nail them for an antitrust suit with the way that the union was so strong. So they kind of, I think Congress did that little hearing because that was either this or we're going to come in there and start cleaning house with them. And football hasn't been had their feet held to that fire yet.
Okay, man. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I just think it's kind of a double standard. I don't know if it has anything to do with, you know, baseball's contracts being guaranteed and the NFL's aren't. Like, for instance, when an NFL player gets busted for anything prohibited and they get a 4-game suspension, does the owner have to still pay them their contract during that 4-game suspension?
No, if they're suspended by the league office, they get put on the exempt list, which means
the same goes for the baseball players as well.
Exactly.
Guaranteed contract or not.
Yes.
See, if I was a baseball player, I'd want my contract that if I get busted with steroids, I still get paid.
And then you look at what happened with Brian Robinson. Where did a lot of that money go back to? What was it, $3.2 million that went back to the fans when it actually came to the ballpark by like getting a voucher for $10 for this or for that? I mean, so a lot of that money that, you know, Brian wasn't getting paid actually did kind of go back to the fans. Was it right, wrong, otherwise? I don't know. But, I mean, it was nice to see something like that happen.
Yeah, it's a classy move.
Well, Ryan Braun, a couple of years ago was a little more, starting to get more standoffish, we thought, with the fans. And not in a bad way, but just not doing as much media events. And he's a superstar. And ever since he got nailed, he's been Mr. Public Relations. I mean, he was calling up season ticket holders. And they would answer the phone. They'd go, hello. And they'd go, hello, this is Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers. And people didn't believe it was him, but it was. And he was apologizing to them for having to miss the 60 games or whatever he missed. Yeah, there is some ass kissing going on. And you know what? I think it's a class move, but he also knows he has to rebuild his image. I mean, we want to, you know, now, I mean, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. In fact, he just got hurt yesterday already, and he might play tonight, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy since he dropped. I think steroids should be legal in all sports. Let's keep these guys playing no matter what the hell. No matter what things could go wrong with their health, that's the trade-off of being paid billions of dollars. And, well, I don't know if I believe that, but it sounded good at least.
That's the risk they take. I mean, they're taking it every time they go out there. Who wants to be out there being slammed around by a 360-pound linebacker?
Well, I tell
in
you
the
what,
right mind.
Last weekend I was slammed around by a 360-pound woman. But it's because I want.
Well, you know, you pay for what you get.
Yeah. And trust me, I had to pay, so... That's okay though. That's just me. You know, me and my I call them love sports. We'll leave it at
there
that.
There you go.
So, all right, Irish Brad, come on, man. What else you got going out there in Ohio, in the great state of Ohio? Is there anything going on with your favorite team, Ohio State? The Ohio State?
Nah, I haven't really heard much. I shared a video of an Onion video of some 13-year-old kid that got in for drinking abilities, but
nice.
I haven't heard much about them. I don't follow. It was a spoof, but I don't follow much of Ohio State unless it's in season.
Okay, what's going on in Rudy Land?
Indeed had their spring game today, which was attended by nobody knows how many because it was a closed spring game. That the stadium's under construction, so they held a closed spring practice to finish up their spring practice this year, and it was only attended by the media. So there were a few Bleacher Reports that came out, but not a whole lot of news coming out of there. I don't know if anybody follows, but the quarterback situation in Notre Dame's kind of still up in the air, and it looks like Everett Golson will be coming back, and it's going to be a two-quarterback race.
Oh, great, because that means nothing to me. All right, Brad, what do you think about Sam Decker? Sam Decker, guys, let's talk about this, Joe. Sam Decker is declaring himself for the NBA draft. Right move, wrong move, or not sure?
For me, I believe in the interest of Decker, it is the right move for him. For me, no. I would love to see him come back, finish out at Wisconsin, but I can see why he doesn't want to come back. Next year, I don't foresee Wisconsin going as far as they were this year for the simple fact is they're not going to have the people. You got Frank leaving. You got to have Gosher leaving.
Frank Kaminsky.
Frank the Tank.
Dewey Dukin.
You know, Dukin, he's leaving. So, I mean, a good part of the Wisconsin team is leaving. Decker had a blowout season. Why would you not capitalize on that and go?
Irish Brad, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it from a completely different point of view, you guys, because I saw, you know, two games and then fractional bits of Wisconsin basketball this year, so I can't really give you a real informed viewpoint. But from the little bit of exposure I got of Decker, I just don't see him being ready for the NBA to make a big impact. He might, I'm thinking maybe mid to late second round or a free agent kind of guy. But there's a nice living to be made playing basketball in Europe or Israel or somewhere like that. So I don't know what's going on with the future of Wisconsin basketball if they're senior heavy or you know what the next season holds for him. So maybe he has more to gain by going this year for himself versus what the team could accomplish next year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, Sam Kaminsky is the once in a generation kind of guy to come along, and you know, Sam. There's other than maybe enjoying college life more, there's really nothing to come back to, in my opinion. That, you know, Bo Ryan will always have his team in the NCAA. He's just that kind of coach, but you know, not on a team like this. And the thing is, unfortunately, you're judged off what you've done lately. Now, this kid had two games where he absolutely blew up. And then the final game, the biggest one of them all, he kind of all but disappeared, Irish Brad.
Yeah, he did. And like you were saying, though, I mean, without Kaminsky there next year, does he come, you know, does he come back next year and is he the star of the team, or does he come back next year and is he still a role player and there's nobody to play a role to and his draft?
And another thing, I don't think he wants to be the star of a team where he's putting in 20-some points a game, yet they're 500.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. And a star of that team that puts in the averages 18 points a game, what is their draft position? What, you know, a team that finishes fourth in the Big Ten or something?
All right, let's move on a little bit. Let's talk about, do you got any NASCAR at all, Joe? Any updates on what's the next race coming up for the Hillbillies? I'm sorry, NASCAR fans.
NASCAR fans. Ooh. Yeah, I haven't been following NASCAR all that much. I know tomorrow, I believe, what do we have?
What's going on?
We had a documentary coming up, and last week was Easter, which we didn't have a race last week. So.
Okay, how about international figure skating. What's going on with figure skating duels?
The figure skating duels.
Yeah, you know, and they're nice. Once in a while on a Sunday, I do like watching the glittery uniforms and the outfits
they wear.
They
are kind of nice.
You know what is it? Is it called a triple axel or something like that? You know, the last time I seen a triple axel is when I was drunk and high at a Guns N' Roses concert, and I thought I saw three Axl Roses. That's the last time I seen a triple axel. That would have been a perfect spot for a doo-doo-doo-tsh, but that's all right.
But I want to go back to that late on first of all. I don't mean to jump in here. The next race, I just looked it up, is the Duck Commander 500. What are those guys doing that make duck calls that they're now naming NASCAR races? What, I mean, are those guys sitting on a gold mine with duck calls or what?
And yeah. Then some.
Yeah, it's they've captivated especially the southern half of the United States. And you can't go in a Walmart without seeing one of them stupid beards on something. So yeah, mm-hmm. they
I wouldn't even say Walmart. I'd say any store now almost. It's with any store now you can go into Home Depot and get a tape measure that says Duck Commander on it.
I'll tell you what.
I believe Dick's carries their line also.
Oh yeah.
Under Armour does the line for
yep.
them.
It is totally cool now to be old, white and gross. That's what's in now. It's okay to be.
That's what we've all
gross.
Been rooting. Yeah, that's just, what we've all been rooting for that here.
Grow your beard out.
It's
carry a cup.
It's okay. Let yourself go. The cheese down to the dress that you haven't washed in the last 3 days. Have an unkept white nasty beard with pine cones in it. It's okay to just be gross. And hey, they're making millions off it. So good for them. They just have to watch.
On that note, I'm going to put some chewing tobacco in my mouth.
Nice. There you go.
All right, we're going to hit another commercial break, if that's all right. I'm talking to my producer right now. And we got a surprise for you when we come back, listeners. You're going to actually like this. You're listening to the Wisconsin Sports Report, 103.5 WADR.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Looking for an opportunity to volunteer in our community?
How about volunteering with Janesville Community Radio?
Just go to our website. Click on the tab.
Volunteer. There, fill out a brief form telling us what your interests and area of expertise are.
And we'll be in contact with you shortly.
Oh, and one more thing. We need money. To be at 103.5 FM in June of 2015,
we need to raise money for a radio tower, transmitter, and studio equipment.
Be part of bringing the community radio to Janesville by contributing $10.35 or any amount that you choose
to 103.5 FM by going to
www.janesvillecommunityradio.com/donate. Thanks.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Sports Report with the Herb 103.5 FM.
And we're back with Wisconsin Sports Report on 103.5 FM WADR. We're glad that you guys are back because we did promise a surprise. And the surprise is...
Hey, we're back.
We would...
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. We're back. That's a surprise. We want to talk about Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Money Mayweather.
There we go.
Floyd Money Mayweather, Joe, you got something interesting about him on how much that he paid for. Why don't you go into it? This is unbelievable to me.
Unbelievable. This guy paid $25,000 for a mouth guard with diamonds and gold. 25,000 people. 25. Can you imagine that?
That's reasonable.
Reasonable? What? In your world.
I would like to see Manny Pacquiao hit him so hard you just see a burst of diamonds go in the air and just see that mouthpiece get split.
I'd catch $1,000 worth of it. You know, I'm telling you. But that I mean, this fight right there, who do you think is going to take it, Irish Brad?
I think Mayweather wins.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that this fight's happening now rather than 4 years ago, but I really think Mayweather's still got the best defense in the world.
I mean, but we're still looking at both fighters that are, what, 38 and 36?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I know they're both in their mid-30s. Been going for a while.
Well, like Irish Brad said, you know, it's unfortunate this fight didn't happen 4 years
ago.
It
is.
I mean, but it's still going to garner $90 per household per pay-per-view, which is literally, they were talking numbers like 150 one time.
Yeah.
But how much is Mayweather getting for this fight?
Mayweather is expected to get, I believe, $180 million or close to it. $180 million off of one fight, 12 rounds, 3 minutes per round. You know, do the math. I mean, it was some crazy how much money per second he was going to make for this fight. And just imagine if he goes in there and knocks him out in the first round.
Yeah.
One would be how embarrassed Pacquiao would be if he got knocked out by Mayweather. But, yeah, $180 million for this fight. It's supposed to bring in over $300 million total between the both of them. That's not including endorsements. I don't think that's even going to include the pay-per-view package that goes on with it. So we're talking a lot of money for one fight, the highest paid fight, grossing fight out there.
I'm still a fan of Mike Tyson when he fought Peter McNeely, and then Peter McNeely did the Pizza Hut commercials where he goes to take a bite of the pizza, then he acts like the slice knocks him out, and he falls down. I remember that disaster. It was $45, which in the early 90s that was some big bucks,
yep.
And we paid to get that, and the fight was over like in, I don't know, 40 seconds. So remind me of Sphinx almost. But Irish Brad, there's been a big drop off for pro boxing. I mean, MMA has kind of taken over the world.
Yeah, it's unfortunate too, because I'm a big boxing fan. I kind of grew up being from the Youngstown area. We had a couple of guys that have come up through the ranks and become champions from Youngstown. So it was kind of, you know, boxing was a big deal in the mid to late 80s, early 90s growing up. And it's kind of become MMA now is the big mainstream thing, and boxing kind of a side, you know, a secondary thing. And it's kind of a shame because boxing is a much more technical sport than MMA. And I think MMA, I mean, beyond the homoerotic things that go on in MMA, it's human cockfighting. It's human cockfighting. It's not really, I don't consider it much strategy involved. A lot of times the bigger, stronger guy wins in MMA. It's, you know, grappling, where once they get to the ground, it's no action at all. It's just two men rolling over top of each other and an arm getting barred and game over.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of football, and football's kind of it for me, to be honest. I mean, well, that's not true. Baseball, and once in a while I do enjoy a good rugby match or
of
lacrosse.
Rugby sevens?
Yeah.
That is great to watch.
Let's talk about something else. Like, for instance, did you ever participate, Irish Brad, in any city league football or anything like that? Like, you know, like flag football, you know, around your community? Did you ever get into something like that?
Yeah, I've played a lot of football. I did a couple of, you know, just recreational flag football leagues. They were fun, and it was kind of cool. There was pretty much full contact away from the ball with blocking and stuff like that, and it was a pretty more physically intense than I expected it to be.
Brad, this is Paul.
Yeah.
I've seen your highlight reel as a quarterback in high school, and I am going to get my hands on that so we can put it on some kind of a broadcast. Oh, you should see it, Dave. I'm going to get my hands on it.
I don't think it exists anymore, unfortunately. I think it got lost somewhere. And I'll tell you, it's pathetic as it does sound, I miss it sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I might have been a 12-pack into the night and popped that into the old VCR once in a while.
Well, I tell you what, like for me,
I remember when I played high school football, but I remember when I played City League football, we had some people that were in their mid-40s and some 50 years old out there playing, and there's no way I could do that now. And I totally appreciate what they were able to do. When I was in my 20s, I was out with a good buddy the night before. We'll just call him Matt W. And we're out till bar time. And we played City League football down at Traxler Park here in Janesville. And it was nothing but, you know, goose poop all over the field. And that's just what you dealt with and you played. Yep. And I'd been out drinking the night before. And this linebacker from the other team, I was a center, Irish Brad, for our team. And our quarterback was in shotgun. And I snapped a ball. And this inside linebacker came on a blitz. And he didn't mean to do it. But when he was running, the motion of his arms, he basically gut punched me. I mean, hit me right in the gut. Okay. And right then and there, I knew I instantly had to crap. I had to go. And there was no holding off on it. It was go time. You got to go now. You can't sit your ass. You know what I mean?
No.
So I'm freaking out and I'm clenching in front of a couple hundred people out there watching us. And I know I'm about to do the worst thing I could do in front of everybody is poop myself.
Oh, yeah.
And I start slowly walking to where the bathrooms are. And the thing is, you all know this, the closer you get, the worse it gets because you can't trick your ass. I mean, it was I was crowning, you know, on the way there.
You had the shivers.
I had the shivers.
The shivers.
I had the turtle head. I had the shivers. I was crowning, and I'm sitting there. And we got Rock River that is downtown.
Beautiful Rock River.
Yeah, beautiful Rock River. I'm walking out with one of my friends, Bobby, and he knows the pain I'm in. I'm like, I gotta go. I was talking like that, and I was cold sweating. And he's like, oh, my God, are you going to be okay? I just got to get to the bathroom, Bob. And I'm walking, and it's getting worse and worse again because I said you can't trick your ass.
No.
And as soon as I got to the outdoor bathroom and I go to pull the door, it's locked. And immediately when I pulled it and it was locked, all hell broke loose. It was like a 10 gallon drums of tomatoes being dumped into a pot. It just made this noise. And I grabbed my pants immediately, my shorts. You got to corral it. And then I ran my dirty monkey butt to the Rock River as fast as I could. And I jumped in the river and I was bathing in there. And people were driving by in their cars with my big white butt hanging out, honking at me. We can see you! I wrung out my shorts in the Rock River, and then I put them back on, and I played the rest of the game. And he would not go underneath me under center. So there's my little story there, Irish Brad. What do you think about that?
Well, that's fantastic. That's pretty amusing. I can't stop laughing.
Are we going to tell poop stories now?
Well, I guess I just was having a recollection of my fondness for City League football and crapping myself in front of a couple hundred people.
Joy.
Worst part is when you first started telling the story, I thought you said nut shot instead of gut shot, which would have been just as bad anyways, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been pretty, Well, honestly, I could have recovered better, and no one would have seen my bruised ball as much as they seen my loaded diaper, basically. So, anyways, that was my sports story. Does anybody else have anything, funny or embarrassing that you're willing to talk about on the air?
Yeah, any other Cleveland Steamer stories?
Joe, if I remember right, you had that unfortunate accident with Ovaltine one time. What was that? Glass of Ovaltine?
I think it's when I was watching The Christmas Story one year, and I just wanted to be like, the Fred Geely part of it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're looking at the orphan Annie Dakota ring.
I was in the bathroom, hunkered over the toilet.
What are you talking about? You were in the bathroom, hunkered over the toilet.
Yeah, I was trying to cipher it.
Oh,
killing babies again.
Yeah, you're out there killing babies. Let's see. You could have been a doctor. You could have been a dentist. You could have been a fireman. Oh, goodbye. And, of course, our flush sound is not working. There we go. Goodbye.
Little cute.
So, really has a particularly embarrassing story other than the one that I told. I'd like to get back to more serious things. I want to talk about scary clowns because they've made a comeback in movies. I remember for me, Irish Brad and Joe, the first scary clown that creeped me out was the original Poltergeist movie, that one that was in the bedroom. That was like the first scary clown, and now it seems like every movie out there
they're
now
everywhere.
Is either scary clowns or it's like a 5-year-old girl ghost. That's what I call them because they talk like this. I want to go down to the pool.
The first one that ever scared me was Mrs. Garrett on The Facts of Life.
The ghost of Mrs. She's not even dead yet, and the ghost of Mrs. Garrett came into my bedroom one night, and she's like, "Girls, girls, girls!" Ooh. And I was kind of creeped out by that.
Yep.
There we go. I got it. It's hot. Which was with a pack of life, but I think it up that the people three edges edible. Hey, Brian, I'll take it out. I think that means.
Such a.
Oh, you went to that. When Martin Luther King week is going on down there, and we've seen Tootie at a rib joint when we're down there eating. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how she didn't keep falling over in her food, and she wasn't drunk. Tootie's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. You take the good, you take the bad.
Lay off me, I'm starving.
And it's Tootie, let me tell you, Tootie's got some jugs.
Certainly not the facts of life.
Oh, my God. You still with us, Irish Brad?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like Tootie ate the good and the bad. I'm here all night. Try the veal.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here all night. Try the veal.
Yeah.
So, Irish Brad, what's on the menu tonight at Brad's place, and what are you partaking in beverages?
Well, we had a wonderful dinner, some takeout burgers from a fast food joint here, and then I'm just having a couple of, I think I'm on Miller Genuine Drafts right now.
Uh-huh,
there you go.
The pride of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
How's the fiancé?
She's fantastic. She had a rough day at opening day yesterday, so she's kind of napping it off in the bedroom right now. I think the dog wasn't being so good, so we had to put him in the bedroom because he wanted to be on the air tonight, and I don't think we want that.
Well, tell the little lady I said hi.
Absolutely. I sure will.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do on a commercial break.
Why are we going to do that, Dave?
Why? Because I told you why.
Oh, sounds like a good answer.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Wisconsin Sports Report, 103.5 WADR.
Wisconsin Sports Report with the Herb, 103.5 FM.
I want to thank you, Irish Brad, for coming on the Wisconsin Sports Report. We really appreciate your time.
I actually, in my younger days when I was living in Las Vegas waiting on tables, I waited on Roseanne every day of the week. She was the coolest lady you've ever met in your life. Drink a beer or two or something like that.
I think I'm ready to start drinking some gin right now. You guys want to start boozing?
Booze it.
Right now I have a very fine Russian vodka Nikolai, which was $7.50.
Oh, yeah.
And some tonic water. And my fiance and I have been doing 1 ounce sips of some Three Olives Rang Tang vodka. It's like it tastes like Tang, like the astronaut drink. I don't know. Pretty good. Get the job done, right?
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
A new weight loss program focused on chocolate is now being offered by Chocolates for Life. Weekend and evening programs are available. Stay true to those New Year's resolutions. Call 608-563-0111 for information on this exciting new program. That's 608-563-0111.
Are you looking for diversity in Janesville?
You just found it.
Tune in to Janesville Community Radio for new podcasts daily.
Featuring a variety of local voices speaking on subjects
as diverse as arts, education, religion, politics,
self-improvement, business, community development.
And we even have an all-Spanish language podcast.
Go to www.janesvillecommunityradio.com
to find links to all our programs.
This is Dez Uncensored, and you're listening to JCR 103.5.
If you're looking for the hottest show around, make sure you tune in every Sunday at 2 p.m. to sit with the B-City B-Funny team for B-Funny Sundays on Janesville Community Radio 103.5 FM. I hate sports, but you probably don't. So you should be listening to the Wisconsin Sports Report with Dave every Saturday at 6 p.m. on Janesville Community Radio 103.5 FM.
I hate sports.
Sports Report, 103.5 FM, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Janesville at 321 East Milwaukee Street. I am with Irish Brad. I'm with Joe, my future and bestest friend and color commentator that will be that's coming up in just a few days. What's going on in a few days, Joe? Why don't you fill in to everybody?
I'm telling you
what's happening on the 15th of
April, starting at about 6:30 p.m. We'll be in downtown beautiful Beloit area-ish, down at Pullman Field, where we will open the 2015 snapper season.
And I'm looking forward to that. I'm the play-by-play caller for the Beloit Snappers. I am asking anybody and anyone, if you are interested in getting tickets for the Beloit Snappers, there'll be plenty available that day for sale, but you can also go to their website.
There you go.
And also, I just would like to throw out a little teaser for everybody. If the first people to come up to me in the booth and be able to tell me what movie won Best Picture in 1986, you will get 4 free tickets to the next Snappers game. You just got to tell me what movie won Best Picture in 1986. So there's a little teaser. If you are at the game at Pullman Field opening day, April 15th, and you come up by the scorer's booth right behind home plate, and you meet me, Dave, the voice of the Beloit Snappers, and you can give me the answer to what won Best Picture in 1986, I will give you 4 tickets to the next Snappers game of your choice. We'll take care of you that way. We're really excited, Joe, to be broadcasting the games live. And the thing that's exciting about it is we're going to be doing the first, you know, trial runs is what I call it, opening day off the internet. But then we're going to be switching the tower around mid-June, and we got a lot to prepare for, but we're excited to do it.
It is. It's a big task that we're taking on, and I tell you what, I'm certainly up for any task. I've never turned anything down. Just can't wait for this opportunity. I think it's going to be a great thing. Watch some great baseball, some great young players that are coming up on this team. Not to mention, if you've never been down to Pullman Field, it's a great little ballpark. Keep a look at the schedules. You can find little schedules at a lot of convenience stores, little pocket ones. Go ahead and pull them out. It shows you all the nights. Look at all the promotions that they're doing this year, not to mention all the fireworks that we're going to be showing on all the Fridays and Saturdays. So it's going to be a great time, great for every family member, young or old.
Yeah, we have 11 fireworks nights. We have multiple nights where it's going to be bobblehead giveaway, including a Paul Molitor bobblehead night, which is going to be pretty exciting. There's going to be a lot of quality baseball out there. And a little update on the Blade Snappers. They won last night 4-3, but I think around the sixth or seventh inning, they're down 5-4 right now to the Clinton Lumberjacks. But we'll fill our great listeners in a little bit more when it comes to that opening day. Not only are we going to be broadcasting the games, but we're going to be doing a short pregame and postgame to each game that we do at Pullman Field. We're going to be broadcasting to at least start 40 games out there, and I'll be talking more about that on the radio for which dates will be the dates to listen in. We're really excited for this opportunity. We're excited for Gainesville Community Radio, 103.5 FM, and this is just a nice partnership that we got together with the Blade Snappers, and we can't be more excited. You know, pull my arm. You'll call a game at a baseball, you know,
I
field.
I think one good thing I'm going to be excited about is we actually get to go to Miller Park. And I tell you what, that right there is going to be,
It's going to be great. It's going to be
That's going to be like the highlight. You know, being able to go to Miller Park, be able to broadcast from Miller Park.
I'm kind of pretty sure by that time, before that game even comes, we're going to probably be fired from the one that we have. So we probably don't got much to look forward there. But it's always good to have a goal.
There is.
You know. But anyways, I just would like to let everyone know, please come out and support your local single-A affiliate of the Oakland A's, the Blade Snappers. It's just a good time, and I'll tell you what, for the price of it, you know, you can't beat going to a minor league game. I mean, you know, the major league is fun, but when you're talking about the cost and the expense and then the hassle of the parking and everything else, you can't beat you know, kind of the homegrown flavor of a nice night of baseball. Irish Brad, we're called the Blade Snappers here. Out in your neck of the woods, they're called the what? Scrappers?
Yeah, we have the half-season single-A team for the Indians. It's the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, which is a cool time. You know, it sounds like about the same exact deal. And I just want to say congratulations to you guys. You're going to do a great job, and I can't wait to hear all about it, and I hope this summer I can take a road trip out there and maybe see you guys do a game. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's a great opportunity. What I like about going out there, I got to see the Scrappers play out there. I kind of liked it where they had, like, a promotion, in the fourth inning. If so-and-so strikes out the side, you get your first five wings at BW3. So my brother Paul and I are out there after the game, and we didn't give a crap about the wings. We just wanted to assault our liver a little bit, and then half the team shows up out there, and it's just a good time. It's a local thing, and minor league baseball is great. I mean, we met a lot of people at our hot stove dinner that we did for the Beloit Snappers at the Clip Center in Beloit about a couple months ago. That, I mean, all they do is travel around the country.
Yeah.
Some of these couples that we've seen, and they just go to the minor league. They still like that. It's almost a romantic view of baseball and its purity, kind of like that Bull Durham type thing. You know what I mean, Irish Brad?
Yeah, definitely. You know, with the signs on the outfield wall and hit this sign and win a free steak type things. It's exactly it's just like you see in the movie Bull Durham, and that's kind of the feeling you get when you go there and you see the guys dancing on the back of the dugouts and things like that. It's a good time.
And I'm going to be doing, you know, the ballparks are going to be doing a lot of 50-50 raffles, which is fun, too. And we're going to have our own 50-50 raffle. There's going to be a 50% chance that you get your ass kicked if you come up to my booth and bother me when I'm calling a game. That's going to be our 50-50 raffle.
Hey, Brad.
Is that for me personally? Or?
Yeah. Brad, real quick, I think you need to schedule your trip to visit your relatives in Iowa in the Miller Park week because, you know, we'll need an extra person on our production team for that game.
Yeah, I think I can pull that trip off.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to wrap up the show, kind of a short show tonight. We had a few topics that we went over. We're excited about how the show was. We always like feedback from our listeners. If you have any bad feedback, though, keep it to yourself.
I never talk this much, but I just want to one more time remind everybody, this is it for Blog Talk. We want to keep you. Follow us, www.janesvillecommunityradio.com. Also, Wisconsin Sports Report on Facebook, Irish Brad on Facebook. There's plenty of ways to find out where we're going to be. We'll have that information Monday evening or early Tuesday. We want to keep you all. And I just want to remind you, we will be on this coming Saturday again. So we'll see you then.
And that's the facts of life, people. That is the facts of life. So I want to say for Mrs. Garrett and the gang, thank you for listening to the Wisconsin Sports Report, 103.5 FM WADR.
Wisconsin Sports Report with the Herb, 103.5 FM.